I would like to speak to you about two sutras. There are these two sutras to which I wanted to draw your attention. The first is the Sri Maladevi Sutra, and the second is the Vimalakirti Sutra. The full title of the first is the Sri Maladevi Simananda Sutra, or the Lion's Roar of Sri Maladevi Sutra, and the second is fully titled Vimalakirti Nirdesha Sutra, or the Instructions of Vimalakirti. Let me set this up. In the Mahayana, your lifestyle should be determined by your ability to be compassionate. If you can do this by being a monk or a nun, that's great. And if you can do this by being a laywoman or a layman, that is great. If you are interested in Mahayana modes of conduct, please read the Definitive Vinaya in the Treasury of Mahayana Sutras. These two sutras of today's discussion are about a queen and a layman. They are very profound teachings in both, but first I want to point out these two are examples of life lived as a Mahayana or yogi. People who are raised in a republic or a democratic republic often do not understand the structure of power in a monarchy. We tend to think the king is an absolute ruler with total power. Although this is theoretically correct, but in fact, the king has many forces that he has to contend with. The more accurate way to think of this structure is to look at the game of chess. Chess was invented in India, and so it reflects Indian thinking at its root. The castles are the war elephants, the knights and the pawns, the bishops were the ministers, and of course the king and the queen are central. In chess, the king can only move one square at a time, but he can move in any direction. It is the queen that is the most powerful piece on the board. She can move in all directions and in any number of squares. In the real world, because the queen is able to work behind the scenes, she can accomplish things the king can't, as every move he makes is watched carefully, because he is the final authority. Also, she had her family connections and her factions in the palace. The queen was very powerful, but she also had to be skillful in her dealings with others. So the wiser, the better. Thus, Queen Sri Maladevi symbolizes the Mahayana life by a laywoman who was powerful, wise, and skillful. She also engages in other more specific activities. First, she is praised by her parents, who say she is kind, intelligent, learned, and wise, and if she could see the Buddha, she would be quick to understand. So again, to see the Buddha is to understand the Dharma, just as I was explaining with regard to the one practice, samadhi. Her parents sent her a letter telling her about the Buddha and that she should try to see him. She is respectful to her parents and followed their suggestions. She then praises the Buddha and leads her retinue to do the same. All of them bow. There are many sutras that explain that those of high accomplishment previously had praised many Buddhas. So she also makes a number of vows, making vows to gain awakening and to enact compassion plays an important role in Buddhism. The Sukhavati Vyuha Sutra, the Akshobhya Sutra, the Samantabhadra Sutra, and others have teachings on making vows. Then, by the power of the Buddha, the queen gives a teaching and connects it with the perfections, as explained in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras. This is followed by many more topics. At the end, she was mindful of the Buddha, a type of meditation. We will explore the philosophical and the practice teachings in this sutra another time. Here, I simply wish to bring to your attention the activities of the queen as a model. Now let's look at the Vimalakirti Sutra. The sutra opens explaining how great the disciples in attendance were and then provides a long list of bodhisattvas' names. The Buddha explains the field of activity of a bodhisattva. The sutra then introduces Vimalakirti, who is a layman bodhisattva. He is using his illness as a skillful way to teach. The Buddha wishes to send a disciple to pay his respects and inquire as to the health of Vimalakirti. Vimalakirti is like you or me. His lifestyle is between the indulgent laity and the one of a restricted monk. Or, as we say, he lives in the world, not of the world. He was married with children and had servants. On the outside, his life was like any other person. He ate and drank regular food, engaged in sports and gaming, visited teachers. He knew science and mixed with the common people. He was comfortable to be with people of any age and people who engaged in all types of businesses. He visited different neighborhoods and participated in government affairs. He visited brothels, bars, and cabarets. He respected people from every walk of life, from low to high. Though human, he was welcome among the gods as an equal. He studied and taught the Dharma. The Buddha asked one disciple after another to go pay his respects to Vimalakirti. Each in order turned down the Buddha's request, relaying a story on how one time the disciple had engaged in a Dharma conversation with Vimalakirti, and the layman made him look ridiculous. First, the Buddha asked a number of famous monks to go, many of the Marhats. Even Ananda, the Buddha's attendant, declined. After they all declined, he asked a number of bodhisattvas and others to please go and pay his respects. They too all were reluctant to agree. Finally, the Buddha asked Manjushri, the bodhisattva of wisdom, and he agreed. The body of the sutra then follows. So what can we learn from these two examples? First, your station in life, high or low, is not significant. You can be both a great yogi or a yogini and a bodhisattva. You can be female or male. The important thing is what you do with your situation. Next, this is particularly important. You do not have to be a monk or a nun. Both of these bodhisattvas are lay people. You could be a monk or a nun, but it's not necessary. Monastic life is just another option. Actually, if you read the literature on the bodhisattva's morality, like the Definitive Vinaya and Abiding in the Good and Noble Deportment, both found in the Treasury of Mahayana Sutras, you will see that being a monk or a nun may prove to be a hindrance to the bodhisattva career. How so? Monks and nuns should follow the rules very strictly. Bodhisattvas have principles they hold, allowing freer conduct. There is no activity you are barred from or should not associate with. You could be a prostitute bodhisattva, a warrior bodhisattva, a janitor bodhisattva, a prime minister bodhisattva, or anything in between. You can minister to street people or to CEOs. Everything is open, but there are two important points. First, you have to be actually able to not get caught up on whatever. That is, if you don't let samsaric thinking become your path and just fool yourself with the idea that you are a bodhisattva. Second, you can engage in these activities only out of compassion and not for your own ego's sake. Being a monk or nun is safe for those seeking awakening. You should select a safe path if your wisdom and compassion are insufficient to safeguard you. When you are not engaged in compassionate activity, then retire to your room, enjoy the bliss of solitude for meditation and study. Thank you.